Low average temperatures. A strong low pressure system developing in the plains will spread scattered showers and thunderstorms from Missouri into Illinois late this afternoon and evening. Periodic thunderstorms are possible through tomorrow night. As that strong low approaches, severe weather will be possible for much of the mid-Mississippi and Ohio River Valley areas tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow night. Large hail, damaging winds, tornadoes, and flash flooding will be possible as the storm system moves through the region. Highs today will range from the low 40s in northeastern Illinois to the low 70s in southern Illinois and Indiana. Lows overnight will range from the 30s in Wisconsin to the 60s in the Ohio River Valley. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, mostly cloudy with a high of 59. The wind out of the northeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms are likely, the low 45 and the wind from the northeast at 10 to 15 with gusts to 25 miles per hour. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms likely with a high of 67 and an east wind from 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts to 25. Tomorrow night, showers and thunderstorms. Some storms may be severe tomorrow night. The low 50 with a southwest wind at 15 to 20 miles per hour. The outlook for Wednesday, partly sunny with a high of 55. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-30s. Thursday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-50s. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a low in the low 40s. At noon central time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the mid-30s north to the low 70s south. It was cloudy north with partly sunny to mostly sunny skies reported in southern locations. At Rockford, 37 degrees, 36 at O'Hare, 49 at Bloomington, 64 at Mattoon, 70 at Carbondale. South Bend reported 40 degrees. It was 56 at Lafayette, 66 at Indianapolis and Terre Haute, 71 at Evansville. And at noon, it was 59 degrees at Willard Airport. The dew point, 47. The relative humidity, 64%. The wind out of the north at 9. The barometric pressure, 29.82 and steady. And the sky was partly sunny. At 12:40, 59 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois.
Bike to Work Day is coming in May. Get geared up with a free workshop on bicycle commuting. Bike riding enthusiasts will help you identify your safest route. You'll learn how to communicate your intentions to drivers and make sense of the new bike markings on the road. Champaign Cycle and Illinois Public Media invite you to this free bike commuting workshop Tuesday, April 19th at 7 p.m. at the Urbana Free Library. For more information, visit cubiketowork.com.
The retrial of former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich on federal corruption charges is scheduled to begin Wednesday in Chicago. Blagojevich's arrest in 2008 made national headlines, but he was not the first sitting Illinois governor to be arrested. That distinction belongs to Lennington Small, a Kankakee native who served two terms as governor in the 1920s. Jim Ridings is a Kankakee County resident who's written several books on local history, including one about native son Len Small. He told Jim Meadows he considers Small to have been Illinois' worst governor.
He sold pardons by the thousands, including pardons to cop killers and men on Al Capone's payroll. He was a friend to the Klan, let them use the state fairgrounds when they wanted. They endorsed all of his campaigns. He accepted the endorsements. He stole up to $2 million when he was state treasurer, and he went on trial for that. And he was acquitted, but he bribed the jury. That's why he was acquitted.
Len Small was a Republican. Did he reflect the statewide Republican Party at the time, or was he sort of an outsider?
With Mayor Thompson in Chicago, they pretty much dominated Illinois politics and Illinois Republican politics at the time. Although he had a conflict in Kankakee, there was a Republican Party in Kankakee opposed to him, which was almost as powerful as his.
And I should note, when you say Mayor Thompson in Chicago, that's Mayor William Hale, Big Bill Thompson.
Big Bill Thompson. Mm-hmm.
Who was also notoriously corrupt.
Yes, he was. He endorsed Al Capone's activities. Al Capone gave him $50,000 for his campaign in 1927.
And let me talk about something in connection with that, the pardons and paroles, and that Governor Len Small, did he hand out more than most Illinois governors?
Oh, yes. It was estimated up to 8,000 pardons per oath, and most of those were sold.
Sold to?
To anybody in jail who had the money.
Are there any notorious examples of people that Governor Small pardoned?
Yes. There was a man named Harry Guzik who was in charge of the houses of prostitution for the Capone mob. He was convicted of white slavery, holding a teenage girl in forced prostitution. He was convicted and sentenced, but he never spent one day in jail. He bought a pardon from Governor Small. There was another example, a man named Ignatz Potts. He was a bootlegger for Al Capone. He was being pursued by a motorcycle policeman. He leaned out the window and shotgunned the motorcycle policeman. He was convicted and sentenced to death. Governor Small not only stopped the execution, he gave him a complete pardon.
You mentioned the charges that he faced, the indictment that he faced from his dealings as state treasurer. And what I learned in the book is that Len Small was the first sitting governor to be arrested, predating Rod Blagojevich.
Yes.
And he was put on trial, but he was acquitted.
Yes. It was quite a neat scheme. When he was state treasurer, he deposited half of the state's funds in one bank, and it was a bank that did not exist. He loaned that money out at 8%, paid the state 2%, and kept the difference, which was about $2 million. He was indicted for this just after he became governor, and he went on trial, and he bribed the jury. They acquitted him. As soon as the trial ended, eight of the state jurors had state jobs.
How did Len Small get elected?
Well, how did Blagojevich get elected? It's party machine politics. He worked his way up the machine, and he served the machine. And in 1920, when he was first elected, that was very controversial. Even the primary was controversial. They stole enough votes in Chicago to give him the nomination, and 1920 was a big Republican year, so he had enough votes, and they found enough votes to elect him governor.
There was a lot of criticism of Small's administration while he was governor. It wasn't like a lot of this was unknown or unsuspected.
That's the thing. This was all known. This was all out in the open at the time. He had a huge scandal with the sellings of pardons and paroles. He had a huge scandal being connected to the Klan. At the time that he was indicted for stealing all that money, and then after he was acquitted, he was accused of tampering with a jury. Two gangsters and one juror went on trial, and they were acquitted. So all of this was known, and it was all out in the open, and he still won.
Now, if I see anything nice said about Len Small, it's about him being the good Rhodes governor who will push through a campaign to put in what they called hard roads back then, paved roads, thousands of miles of paved roads in Illinois when that was really something new as the automobile was becoming more common.
Yes.
And that was a genuinely positive contribution for Illinois, wasn't it?
It was, but it has a other side to it. First of all, highways were being built in every state in the nation because the automobile was coming into popularity. So that was something that would have been done anyway. Also, Small took kickbacks from the contractors for every mile of highway that was built. And one more thing, he only built highways in areas that he had political support. He had some political enemies downstate, and they went without hard roads.
With all these complications, we've already talked about him getting elected. How did he get reelected, and what sort of competition did he face for the second election campaign?
He didn't have much competition. He had a token opposition in his own party, and he managed to take the nomination at that time. Of course, 1924 was another Republican year, so he won then. But in 1928, they did have enough opposition to him to deny him the nomination.
And he lost to, I think he lost to the eventual winner of the gubernatorial election in that one?
Yes, he lost to Lewis Emerson, and he was elected.
Was Lewis Emerson a more honest governor than Len Small?
Well, he would have to be, and he was. I haven't heard anything negative about Emerson at all.
Len Small didn't give up after that. He ran again, and he even won a primary again, didn't he?
He won the nomination again in 1932, but he was defeated by a huge margin. That was the year that FDR beat Herbert Hoover. But Len Small lost Illinois by a bigger margin than Hoover did.
What lasting effect did Small leave on Illinois government? For good or ill, do we see anything in state government now that can be traced back to the Len Small era?
Well, he was a state treasurer for two terms, and after each term, the state passed law to prevent from happening what had happened in his administration. As far as the highways go, those were little two-lane highways, long since replaced. But that is his legacy, and even his family-owned newspaper can't say much more about him than the highways.
That was Jim Ridings talking about former Governor Len Small with Jim Meadows. Ridings' self-published book, Len Small, Governors and Gangsters, is available through Amazon.com. Ridings says the newspaper owned by the Small family has given good reviews to many of his books on local history over the years, but he says the Kankakee Daily Journal has never mentioned his book about Len Small.
The King James Bible is 400 years old this year. It's no longer the top-selling Bible, but it pops up in everyday speech.
Can a leopard change its spots?
The straight and narrow.
The blind leading the blind.
No rest for the wicked.
And in popular music.
Just in the way.
The cultural influence of the King James Bible later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 4 to 7 on AM 580 and from 5 to 7 on FM 90.9.
WILL programming is made possible by Amber Glenn Alzheimer's Special Care Center in Urbana. Amber Glenn works with family and friends to create a plan to support residents' health and independence and provide them with a sense of belonging. More information is available at 384-0100.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 18th of April, 2011. It's the birthday of the man who inspired the word beatnik in the 1950s, the poet Bob Kaufman, born New Orleans, 1925, Roman Catholic mother, German Jewish father. Not much is known about his life. He didn't keep a diary, didn't save letters. He wrote 3 volumes of poetry, but he preferred to recite his poems in coffee houses rather than write them down. He spent 20 years in the Merchant Marine, circled the globe 9 times, survived 4 shipwrecks, and it was out at sea when he first read about the beat poets, many of whom also had been seamen. Gary Snyder had, Jack Kerouac, Allen Ginsberg. When Kaufman was back on land, he went to New York City. He met William S. Burroughs and Ginsberg. The 3 of them moved to San Francisco, where Kaufman liked to perform poetry, shouting it, improvising spontaneously on the street, for which he was arrested many, many times in 1959. And the columnist Herb Cain, who coined the word beatnik, said that he had Kaufman in mind. Bob Kaufman, who said, "I want to be anonymous. My